Doom do 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 doom do do. Doom do 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 doom do do.
Hi, plant people. Welcome to episode 47 of
Bloom and Grow Radio.
Hi, plant friends. I hope you had a lovely planty week and that you enjoyed part one of this two-part amazing series with Leslie Hellick on understanding natural light. So I was so touched. I put up an Instagram last week asking you guys what you learned this year in your own surroundings about your natural light. And I just wanted to read a couple of the things that you guys said. So I love that Made underscore Whole said that she learned that her northeastern facing window was not as bright as she thought, not bright enough for her fiddly fig, so she's moving that around and figuring out what lower light plants work best for her northeast window. Pia Mile NGE, can't figure out how to pronounce that Instagram name, but she's in the Maryland region, and she said since they get a lot of rain, she realized that even though she had southern facing windows, that the overall darker, cloudy, rainy environment in Maryland actually means that her house is lower light than she thought, so she's learned those lessons. Sentimental Sapling got really innovative, and she had her brother put a detachable shelving unit next to her west-facing windows so she could capitalize on all that light she's getting right in that window, nice up close and personal with it. And the Edwardian writer really liked the section that Leslie and I talked about, the direct sunlight versus the indirect moments when the sun moves throughout your apartment. So it's always so awesome to hear that these episodes help you guys bloom and grow. And once again, I feel like the overarching theme for both of these episodes, and I think our lives as plant parents in general, is that each person has their own unique indoor environment, and plants are going to react to your environment in different ways. And it's just our job to learn as much as we can to make sure that we can set our plants up for success. So if you haven't already listened to last week's episode, part one, Understanding Natural Light General Rules with our guest Leslie Hellick, I would suggest that you go back and give that episode a listen because we talk about a lot of general aspects of indoor light. Leslie just gives us so many different knowledge bombs, just like left and right over and over. So go give that a listen. Today, we dive even deeper, plant friends. Leslie had actually given me homework before our interview that involved downloading a free app on my cell phone and taking measurements throughout my apartment. And in this conversation, we talk about the homework, and Leslie guides me through understanding that homework assignment and how I had some insane aha moments about my indoor environment. Spoiler alert. I was greatly misjudging some of the corners and areas of my apartment. And plant friends, I'm so excited. I can't believe this came together the way it did. Leslie and I have put together a free download that is actually going to be a companion to this episode. So I've never offered a free download in association with a podcast episode before, and I'm kind of just blown away with what it is. So I essentially put together a worksheet that was the homework assignment that Leslie assigned me with instructions and a really cute little chart that helps you take all the measurements. And also there's a section that's just a general overview of what we talked about last week. And then, so Leslie Hellick, today's guest and last week's guest, is the author of Gardening Under Lights, which is an incredible book, ironically about artificial indoor lights, not natural light. She had initially come up with a 6-page plant, she calls it plant geek glossary. So it's 6 pages of easily understandable definitions of tons of planty words, names, processes, whatever you can think about all regarding light. And she's given it to us for free. So when you go to my resource page, bloomandgrowradio.com/resources, at the top of that page, you're going to see where you can enter your email to get the free download. You're going to get the worksheet, a page that goes over all of the general rules that we talk about, and then Leslie's 6-page glossary of planty terms and definitions for free, plant friends. How cool is that? Leslie's the best. So as you know from last week, Leslie is a horticulturalist by education and profession. She's got an amazing passion for plants and gardening. She's worked in every sector of the gardening industry and now has her own consulting company for companies in the green space. And she is the author of Gardening Under Lights, The Complete Guide for Indoor Growers, which is a book that I own and love. So, plant friends, as always, I really hope that this episode helps you all bloom and grow as indoor plant parents and get a better understanding of your surroundings. And I really hope that you choose to get that free download and take these measurements for yourself, because I really learned so much and feel like I just have such a better grasp on the light that I'm actually working with. And the link for that download will be in the bio. All right, who's ready to get a little nerdy with Leslie Halleck? Here we go. So after this like awesome kind of like rule of thumb tutorial, you gave me some really fun homework that I want to talk to you about, because there are a couple of options available to us if we want to just dive deeper. And for me, I feel like the exercise of measuring what we measured, and I'm so excited to kind of dive into what I actually did measure, was just really eye-opening for me to learn, number one, the difference in light in my small apartment with these windows and the difference day-to-day of what that light looks like. Right. So can you give us an overview of what are the types of light that we need to understand if, as hobbyists, we just want to get like a great generalized idea of what we're working with? And also, let me just say, I have your book open right now.
Okay.
Just like disclaimer, Leslie's book has the most amazing detailed breakdown of everything, and it is very easy to understand. So if this turns you on, definitely get the book and like dive in, because you have pages and pages and pages of all the different variations of all of it.
Yes. Yeah, so I am not a believer that people who are interested in plants are not interested in science. Okay. I think that if you're interested in plants, that you're perfectly capable of digesting and absorbing a little bit of science. And I didn't want to leave that science out of my book.
Totally.
I didn't want to make it so general that you didn't have access to that information. Now, again, like I said, you can skip. I made little calculator alerts in the book. Like, so if you're like, oh, I'm going to stay allergic to bath, you know, you can skip it. You can skip the hard science if you want to. But I also don't believe that you don't deserve to learn and know the science if you want it. The thing you need to know at a base level about light for plants is that, I think I mentioned previously, PAR, photosynthetically active radiation, the spectrums of light that are useful for driving photosynthesis. The two most important colors of light for photosynthesis are red and blue. So that should make it clear to you why all the new plant grow light LEDs out there, for the most part, generate what color light?
Purple ones, yeah.
Pink, purple, mm-hmm. Right. That's because they are dual band grow lights. They only generate red and blue light with the goal of being efficient at driving photosynthesis, using the two colors of light that are most efficient at driving photosynthesis. So that's why a lot of those LEDs for growing out there are pink or purple. So unsightly. They're great for vertical farms and, you know, and you know, those types of things. But, you know, that's why I went and hunted down the Soltec light, because I'm not putting dual band pink, purple grow lamps in my living space. Mm-hmm. Yes, those are the most efficient grow lamps for photosynthesis, right? You get the most bang for the energy input into that lamp. Okay. Right. But full spectrum grow lamps emit some amount of light in each one of the colors that plants use for photosynthesis. So full spectrum grow lighting is going to emit a white colored light. It might be warmer if it has a little more red light in it. It might be cooler if it has a little more blue light in it, but it will be a more normal white colored light. So when you see a light labeled full spectrum, mm-hmm. a grow lamp, it's going to put out a white colored light. A dual band or multi-band LED that might use red and blue, or red and blue and a little bit of orange or some other color to create a spectral mix, mm-hmm. you know, is going to produce a colored light. Those are great if you're growing in the garage or in the basement or in a grow tent, because they're going to be efficient. But in your living space, you're better off looking for a full spectrum grow light.
Right.
Another basic benchmark for you to understand, to keep it really simple, is that blue light, okay, a full spectrum light that leans more to the blue side, that has more blue light in it, is generally used for the vegetative growing phase of a plant.
Right.
Seedlings, cuttings, foliage plants, lettuces, salad greens, leafy herbs, non-flowering material. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once you switch into a phase of growth where you really need to encourage more flowers, like on a tomato plant, you're going to want more red light in your light output. Red light's going to encourage and stimulate more flowering, and with more flowers comes your fruit, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So really, so you'll see on grow lamps measurements that say, for example, 6,500 K. Mm-hmm. That K stands for Kelvin.
Okay.
That's 65. So that's a color. And I have a little color reference chart, and I don't even remember what page it is on my book, but it's a real easy, just quick visual reference for you to look at mm-hmm. that will show you that. Oh, it's on page 38.
I'm looking at, yeah.
38. Yeah. So you get to that. The higher the Kelvin, the closer to natural sunlight, more blue light. Okay. So a cooler colored light. We call that cool light. When you get on a lower Kelvin rating, like say 2700, it's going to look more yellow or orange. Okay. It's going to have more red light in it. And you'll see that commonly in grow lamps, like high pressure sodium grow lamps, you know, that you might see in greenhouses or growing operations. And that red light has other benefits as well as stimulating flowering. So if you're growing seedlings or general houseplants, things like that, those cooler full spectrum lamps or natural light as well,
okay,
is going to be desirable.
Great.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are the basics, the core basics of sort of what's important about the colors of light that you would use and use for what stages of growth.
Great. And then in terms of if we wanted to kind of take the next step and maybe use an instrument to measure the light. So basically, you gave me homework before this interview, and I
gave you a lot of homework.
Me a lot of homework. It was awesome, which I have questions for you about. But basically, you gave me this great app to download called, it's just called Light Meter, right? I'll link to it in the show notes. And through the Light Meter app, on different days at different times, you told me to take measurements throughout my entire apartment from in my windowsill to in my like super low light kitchen and record them in lux and foot candles.
Correct.
So before we kind of talk about the results of my homework assignment, can we talk about what lux and foot candles are and
sure.
why we need to know them for the conversion that you told right. us to do into PAR?
So lux and foot candles are light measurements that measure visual brightness to the human eye. So they are really not relevant to plant growth. Okay.
Okay.
They're not relevant. They're a measurement of how, so if you want to measure the brightness of light of the types of lights that you're going to install in your kitchen, lumens, lux, foot candles, those are measurements that are going to be meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
The only way to accurately measure light that is meaningful for plant growth, for photosynthesis, is to have a PAR meter, that photosynthetically active radiation.
Right.
That measures the amount of photons of light that fall within a square meter, that fall within the spectrum of light that generates photosynthesis. That's not just right. bright to the eye. PAR meters, spectral flux meters, are pretty pricey. Now, a plant geek like me, mm-hmm. who does a lot of this stuff for a living, I have one. You know, you're going to spend $500 on a PAR meter.
Okay.
But it's the only way to accurately measure light that is meaningful to plants. Most plant enthusiasts and home growers are not going to buy a PAR meter, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to be the coolest person at the party or drive everyone away, okay? Which is what I do. So barring access to a PAR meter, if we lived closer, I totally would have come over and we could have measured all your spaces.
I know, that would have been awesome.
I'm kind of obsessive. I take my PAR meter everywhere I go. And you can use it to measure lights out of grow lamps, not to measure what you're actually getting out of grow lamps as well. So barring access to that, there's not a lot else out on the market that home gardeners can use to get meaningful measurements of light. So what I tried to do with you is improvise.
Mm-hmm.
We'll try a lux light meter app on your phone just so that you can see the differences between bright and lower light levels in your house. Okay.
Right.
So if you don't have a PAR meter, there are handy scientific conversions that have been created to help you convert lux light meter measurements or foot candle light meter measurements into a amount of PAR. Now, it's not an exact science, right?
Of course, because
it's fudge. I call it squishy math. It's squishy math, right? Because the metrics are not the same, right? So you're ballparking essentially. And I have those charts in my book. So if you were to use your phone, your smartphone, mm-hmm. with that light meter app and take measurements, you can follow the conversion table and apply those conversion rates and follow the little formulas that I gave you to give you an estimated amount of photosynthetically meaningful light levels. And then if you go back to that little chart that I give you that tells you sort of what levels fall within what range, being shade, heavy shade, medium highlight. So if you really want to dig into that, you can do all those conversions.
Do you have upcoming travel to a different country scheduled, or maybe you have a relative or a friend who speaks a different language that you want to connect with on a deeper level? Why not easily learn a new language with my favorite language learning tool, Rosetta Stone? I recently went to Italy and I brushed up on my Italian by using the Rosetta Stone app for like 20 minutes every morning. It was so easy to use. It was part of my morning practice. It was really fun. And let me tell you, Rosetta Stone works. It brushed me up so good. I was getting around Italy easily speaking Italian after putting those reps in. If you don't already know, Rosetta Stone is the trusted language learning tool available on desktop or as an app. Rosetta Stone has 30 years of experience, millions of users, and 25 languages offered. It makes language learning so fun, so easy, and so fast. It immerses you in the language, which is the fastest way to learn. So it's an intuitive process with no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. It even coaches you on pronunciation with its true accent feature, which is like basically having a physical trainer for your accent. It's so wild. The desktop and app options make it so easy to do consistently, and it's an amazing value. Lifetime membership has all 25 languages forever for any and all trips and language needs in your entire life. So this year I brushed up on my Italian, but next year Billy and I want to go to Japan so we could learn conversational Japanese with it. That's lifetime access to 25 language courses Rosetta Stone has to offer, and right now they're offering 50% off. It's an insane steal. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Growing Joy with Plants listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life, plant friends. It's an insane deal. Redeem 50% off at Rosetta, R-O-S-E-T-T-A, stone.com/today.
But so, I think, go ahead.
So I took the measurements in lux and foot candles. Then you are going to give me, or you gave me a, that's in your book, a way to convert it into U-moles, right?
Micromoles.
Micromoles.
Meters square per second, which is a measurement of those light photons or calories that we talked about. Mm-hmm. The how many of those are present in that area.
And then from that calculation, there's one more calculation that happens, right? Into PAR.
Correct. Well, that the PAR is the micromoles. That you could go to the next level, which is CLI. Okay. So if you want, if you're getting geeky, mm-hmm. and you want to know the most meaningful measurement for that plant, that's DLI. You'll see me refer to that
right,
as DLI. That's daily light integral. That is the accumulation of the quantity, the number of light photons that accumulates over a 24-hour period.
Okay.
And that's actually how us professionals categorize plants in terms of their light needs. There's a certain number of those photons that need to fall in that area over a 24-hour period, and that tells us whether there's enough light in that area to grow tomatoes or not.
Got it. But for houseplant enthusiasts that really just want to know, is there light here? You know, medium light, low light. You could just kind of like walk around and look at the looks and kind of just get the idea of how varied the light is.
Yes, you can totally do that. And you know, you can like foot candles. Like foot candles is sort of an old school, you know, way to gauge brightness. Mm-hmm. You know, a bright sunny day, midday, full sun, you know, outside, you may get a foot candle. And on that little app, you can choose foot candles or lux on your little phone app. You might get a foot candle measurement of 10,000.
Which is so
10,000. So that's going to be like full sun.
Right.
But I bet if you took, and I'm sure, and we can talk about the measurements you took and relate it to that. Mm-hmm. If you took that same measurement in lux or foot candles, say inside like where your coffee table is, you may have gotten a foot candle reading of like 100, 150, 200, some, you know, it's a really big significant difference. And even though that is not a technically correct measurement of light for photosynthesis, it still gives you a pretty good ballpark of where you are in terms of whether you have bright light, medium light, or low light, if that makes
sense. Right. Totally. Because for houseplant, right. And I love the idea that you give us the opportunity to, like, say in my kitchen area, I genuinely have no idea really what the light situation is. So I think that I'm going to take those calculations you gave me and really figure out what the PAR is and then really figure out, like, to really know what that looks like, even though at this point I know there's like no light there. But
yeah,
still.
And understanding that with the tools you're using, it's squishy math. So it's going to be a ballpark. There's going to be variations there. But like, so for example, if you get a foot candle reading of 50 to 100, you know, in that kitchen area, basically what that's going to tell you is that that spot is only going to be okay for the heaviest of shade tolerant plants.
Okay. Give me some of these are good. So 50 to 100 is low, essentially.
That's
going to
be heavy shade.
Yeah.
Like heavy shade. Right. If you're indoors and you're getting, say, you know, a 1,000 foot candles, well, you're getting into that, you know, brighter medium light range, you know, 400, 500, you know, moderate, medium, low, you know, I mean, there's really no exact science there. You're ballparking it, but just to give you, and you know, that's probably the easiest thing for people to do is just download one of the free light meter apps on their phone and just go experiment and take measurements. It's not an exact science and it's not going to give you an exact measurement of your meaningful light or meaningful light from a grow lamp, but it will at least show you the difference between your light levels as you move away from that window.
Right. And how drastically different they are. So for my measurements, in foot candles, yesterday was a snow day. In my southern facing windowsill, the foot candle was 43.
Right.
But then
really, so heavy shade plant. That's a heavy shade plant zone
in my
right
window
there.
In my southern facing windowsill. However, today it was almost 2,000.
There you go. So you've got a nice bright light situation there with your 2,000.
Right. So but like within the difference of a day, that's a huge difference in light for the same southern facing window still. So I thought it was really interesting that even just day to day, that measurement is really different. And then within that, so today, which to me was a sunny day and on average, like hopefully like what my plants are enjoying, my windowsill was 2000 and then was my windowsill 1,000?
And these are lux. You're taking these in lumens, lux, right? Or are you doing foot candles? Okay, foot candles. Got it.
So that was 1,000. And then my coffee table was 500.
Exactly.
So my coffee table halved.
Halved, right? So that's what I'm saying. So that southern window, you're going to get bright light right inside that window. Once you get to the middle of your room where that coffee table is, you're down to a medium light plant.
And then my kitchen counter, which I used to think was still bright indirect light, was, hold on, where is it? Kitchen, 50.
Exactly.
Which is totally low.
Right. And you did not tell me any of these numbers.
No.
Right. So exactly. So 50, you're down to the heaviest shade plant material. And so this is where the truth has been revealed to you, okay, about the realities of your light conditions. And this is where most, you know, plant newbies and plant keepers struggle, is, you know, you glance around the room and it appears sort of bright to your eye. So you make assumptions about what's going to be successful, but you just aren't taking into account the nuances of change in your light tunnel as you move away from that light source. The farther you move away from the light source, the lower the density of light. And I think I have a little diagram actually in the book on page 41. And this is with a grow lamp, but the same thing applies to, we'll trade out the grow lamp for your window. You'll see that that density of light that's delivered is the most dense, the closest you are to the lamp, the grow lamp. And then if you raise that grow lamp up higher above the plant canopy where the leaves are, then that density, those number of raindrops that are hitting a square meter is lower, right?
Oh, totally.
So essentially you do exactly the same thing. You can grow super high light loving plants and heavy shade plants with the same grow lamp.
Because
or the same window, depending on where you place the plant in relation to the light source.
So I grow citrus indoors under my Soltec light. And I will say that I've had to move the light twice because I started the light way too far from the plants, thinking, not understanding that concept, and then realizing, oh, this light actually needs to be much closer to my citrus plants because they're like super duper full sun plants.
Exactly.
But I have them on a tiered plant stand. So I have the high light citrus close to the grow light. And then as the plant stand tiers go down, I actually have like, what else do I have? I have a Monstera like a foot under that. And then I actually have snake plants on the floor under that. And so I kind of have the tier of light necessity in there.
And you would do the same principle with your window, right? The highest light-loving plant needs to be right in that windowsill, and then you stagger that back.
Totally.
You know, by medium light to low light. And so, yes, the farther away you get from the light source, be it a window or a grow lamp, the light volume exponentially changes. And it's not just by halves. It's actually exponential. So it can – the rate of light loss can increase exponentially as you move that distance, depending on all of the conditions. So the trick with windows and grow lamps is realizing that moving the light source up or down changes whether it's a full sun or a shade condition.
Totally. So two things on top of that. So number one, another thing that took me a minute, a hot minute to figure out in my plant lady dumb was corners are dark.
Yes.
Even if my corners are corners that are right next to my southern facing windows, and I actually included some corners in my measurements because of this, corners are super dark because the light tunnel is actually blowing right past those corners.
Exactly. Like I was talking about my pocket windows.
Right.
So my windows are the walls are inset. And so the corners, I'm sitting in my little library in my house and I'm looking at the corners. And I would say it's very much like the light difference between right in your southern window back to your kitchen. Mm-hmm. Within a foot, I have a sort of moderate light condition to a very dark situation that's not going to sustain anything right in the corner.
Yeah.
A foot away. Yeah.
Like I have in my bedroom, I was using the corner to keep a Dracaena, which like is pretty tolerant of low light, and a snake plant. Neither of them are doing so hot. So exactly. I was like, oh, this is interesting. Let's take the measurement. And even though the light was measuring 1,000 foot candles, the corner right next to it was measuring only 50. And this is like still literally next to the window. Like it's not even a foot away from the wall.
So that's an epiphany for you in terms of where light goes and how quickly it is blocked or it is thinned out, if you will, even just a foot away. And so this is where so many plant keepers struggle. They'll say what you said, well, they're right next to each other. Mm-hmm. They're right next to each other in this space, but every footprint of space is going to have exposure to very different light levels.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is not that simple, and you have to experiment with your space individually, you know, in order for you to figure out what's going to work. And so, but it's interesting is the only way that you really get to see that is by using that light meter. Otherwise to you, it seems like it's all the same, right?
Yeah. 100%. So then another thing that I had been curious about, because it was something it took me a minute to wrap my brain around, was my bathroom doesn't have any windows.
Right, neither does mine.
Yeah, what a bummer, because it's the most humid place with, you know, with all of our showers. So the interest, but now this makes sense, because I was like, oh, I'm going to be clever and I'm going to take a light measurement on the app in Lux and Foot Candles with the lights on and then without the lights on.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'll figure it out. So, but because the app measures light brightness and not the quality of light that's going to instigate, not the PAR that's going to actually right. cause the plant to photosynthesize, I was getting a reading of, you know, 20 foot candles with the light right. on, or 30 foot candles with the light on. Right. But
20 or 30 foot candles, in what it would probably translate to in micromoles per meter square per second of PAR mm-hmm. is not going to be enough to sustain right. even very low light plants.
So that goes
happily long term, you know?
Right. And I feel like a friend of mine, Chris from The Sill, says, if you don't have windows, you don't have a plant. Like, that's just, unless you put a grow light in there.
Well, and that's where grow lights. So corners need grow lights.
Right.
You know, corners need grow lights. You know, again, sometimes windowsills need grow lights. Like I've said, I've got my aspects hanging in my northern windows because mm-hmm. even with the light from the window, it's not enough. It's not enough light for even most low light tolerant, moderate to low light tolerant plants. So that's another thing people don't realize, is that just because you have a window, that still doesn't mean you get right. to have that plant.
So
it's not even as it's not even as simple as if you have windows, you can sustain plants. Well, which kind of plant?
Right.
and in rooms where maybe you're using grow lights, or you have household lights that are on for a period of the day, mm-hmm. it also matters how long they are on. It's not the instantaneous delivery. It's the accumulation of light over that 24-hour period that is meaningful to the plant.
So then here's my here's another question I got for you, Leslie. All my questions. So obviously my bathroom, where like the light's only on when I'm in there,
right.
it's not a good light. It's not a quality light, even if I was to swap it out with like an LED bulb or something.
No.
But like, it's not going to be on long enough. Great. Case closed. You hear that slurping, plant friends? That is me on my dregs of my daily dose of greens, courtesy of today's sponsor, Equilibria. Equilibria is a woman-owned wellness brand with unique science-backed products that help bring your mind and body back into harmony. I always have loved green juice and greens powders. Obviously, I love plants. I love growing plants. I love eating plants. Plants are good for you. And I have tried most greens powders brands on the market, honestly, at this point. I have to say, I'm really loving the Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens. I might argue it's probably one of the best tasting greens powders I've ever had, and that says a lot because I've tried most of them. The Equilibria Daily Nutri-Greens contains an immune antioxidant and detox blend, along with prebiotics, probiotics, and over 35 fruits and veggies. There's no way I'm eating 35 fruits and vegetables throughout the day, but I love that I'm getting little doses and the micronutrients that are in each of the different veggies and fruits, right? Plus, they're certified organic, which I love. A lot of the competitors are not. I just mix one scoop of the greens powder into my water every day, and I'm shocked at how delicious this powder tastes. It's kind of like apple juice. I started back on the greens powder bandwagon because this spring, in this like season of rejuvenation, I'm kind of rejuvenating, doing an overhaul of my health. I've returned to my workout routine. I'm getting in more sleep. I've recommitted to my morning practice, and I've made this Equilibria Nutri-Greens part of that morning practice, drinking the powder in water in the morning. Plus, I love a female-founded company, right? Don't we all? If you want to try this greens powder, Equilibria is hooking you up with 15% off. Head to myeq.com and use code BLOOM for 15% off Equilibria's daily Nutri-Greens and so many other different products on their website. That's myeq.com and use code BLOOM at checkout for 15% off site-wide today. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. But what right. about, sometimes people ask me their offices. So yeah. offices have T5, what's the word
fluorescent. I'm looking for?
Fluorescent yeah. bulbs.
Or so LED,
like, yeah. So like they have LED lights in offices. What if you're at a cubicle that's like 20 feet from you don't even get a window, you're in a cubicle, but you do have those fluorescent lights. Like, what's your opinion on that?
Well, that's like my office. So, okay. so I have an office where I run my business. It's mm-hmm. very close to my house, and it's the complete opposite of my house. So my house is very dark, and the walls are sort of a beige color, and it's lots of, you know, darker kind of natural colors. The overall space is just, you know, so much darker. My office, while it has 2 big windows in it, it is filled with what used to be HOT, you know, T5 lights. Mm-hmm. I had them switch them out to LED bars mm-hmm. In my office. And I have multiple fixtures, right, across the ceiling throughout my whole office. My office is super bright. I mean, I probably get 10 times the amount of light volume at my office than I do here at my home. Mm-hmm. And so I have lots of happy plants up at my office because those lights are on at my office from about 8:30 till 5 o'clock.
Right.
Every day, except for weekends, right? I might be here, I might be there, but they're not on all day on the weekends. But the amount of light they're able to accumulate, I can keep my fiddly figs, which actually take a lot more light than most people realize, mm-hmm. which is why they struggle with them. You know, can do pretty well in my office without a lot of ambient light. Okay.
Even though they're in the ceiling and they're pretty far from your actual plants, I would assume.
Well, if there are it's how many lamps. Okay, when we look at a fluorescent tube, that tube is actually called the lamp. That's the lamp. Mm-hmm. The thing you put it in is the fixture.
Okay.
Or that includes a ballast and all of that kind of stuff. So that tube or that bar with the LED diodes in it, that's the lamp. Mm-hmm. That's the lamp. So if you have multiple fixtures of those in your office, and, you know, there's 4 lamps per fixture and you've got, say, 5 or 6 of those in your office, that's generating a pretty good amount of light. And my walls are painted white, so they bounce a lot of that light back
right.
into the room. Mm. That helps as well. So, yes, I can get away with a lot more plants that have higher light requirements at my office. My African violets that I have sitting on tables in the middle of the room flower happily.
Wow.
Without an extra grow light, you know, so yes, if you're in an office space where you have utilitarian lights, whether they're fluorescent or LEDs on for 8 or 9 hours a day, you're probably going to be able to sustain sort of medium light house plants fairly well for a decent amount of time. You're not going to be able to probably have high light succulents thrive for an extended period of time. But you can definitely have medium light houseplants.
Yeah, just like don't get succulents unless you really have that. My sister has killed a bunch of succulents in her office, and I'm like, no, but it's not that you can't have plants in your office. It's just that you can't have succulents in your office.
Unless you buy a handy little clip-on little full spectrum grow light or little self-contained unit that will sustain some succulents. They're going to need an extra grow light.
Yeah, totally.
That's where you have to provide some supplemental light volume to your succulents. Yeah. And even a bright southern window, you know, Haworthias will be fine. Certain types of succulents will be fine. Mm-hmm. High light loving succulents or high light loving orchids or whatnot. Right. Might not be happy.
I think I'm loving that. I mean, Leslie, this conversation has been so amazing. It's everything I could have dreamed of and more. But I think the really big takeaway is it's really important for us as plant parents to learn, to have at least a basic understanding of the foundation of what makes light and the different measurements, and understand, empower ourselves to understand what our specific environments are. Because I think the biggest issue I think is that, and I think that what we've kind of uncovered is everybody's environment is going to be so different. Even just plants outdoors versus indoors. Everybody's environment is its own little magical unicorn of a home.
Exactly.
And it's our job to go beyond the little care card that you get that says medium light and actually figure out what that means. And I feel like you've given us some really awesome tools to kind of figure that out. I hope that everybody listening maybe goes and downloads the app and goes and gets Leslie's book and does all of the fun calculations into PAR.
Well, yeah. And again, you know, you can dig that deep if you want to. You can skip all that, or you can mm-hmm. graze over some of the information just on how plants use light, just so you have an understanding. And then you can jump into all the action stuff that I give you in the book and, totally. You know, actually growing things and sort of, you know, I give you ballpark information on if you are using grow lights, how long to light them, you know, what kind of grow lights do you need? You know, one of the biggest confusions for people beyond understanding the ambient light in their home is when they want to start using grow lights, what do I use? Where do I even start? It's so confusing and so overwhelming, and it's an investment. And so I break down every type of grow light that you can use, what it's good for, you know, what efficiency really means when you're talking about grow lights and all that. So, but all of that information is also helpful to you in understanding just the natural light environment that you have. And, you know, hopefully can help you better, you know, learn what works for you there. But yes, when you're ready to start doing things like growing seedlings or, you know, fruiting your citrus or growing tomatoes inside or, you know, keeping leafy greens, you know, on your countertop, that's where you move into grow light territory. And so once you're ready for those kind of projects, you know, that's what my book is going to help you do, as well as some basic, you know, propagation stuff, which I expand in my next book that's coming out next spring.
Oh, cool.
Which is called Plant Parenting.
Oh, great. And what's it about?
Yeah, plant parenting. That'll be easy ways to make more houseplants, vegetables, and flowers. So that's all about really clear, easy propagation methods. But so coupled that together, you know, hopefully my goal is to help indoor gardeners and plant keepers and plant parents to figure out how to be
better,
more successful. Yeah, exactly. Grow what you want to grow inside. Grow what you want to grow inside whenever you want to grow it inside.
Totally. And right, as our plant collections grow, we got to keep growing our knowledge and our understanding of what the hell we're doing.
Well, it's fun. I mean, you know,
it's so fun.
And I think that once
it's so interesting.
Yeah, once you catch the plant bug, like you were talking about in your podcast with your gift guide.
Mm-hmm.
I listened to that podcast that you did with your gift guide.
Cool.
And you were talking about, you know, some of the books that you first got into mm-hmm. and you're really starting to learn about sort of botany and plant science. I think that's an inevitability. When you catch the plant bug and you're interested in it, you know, it's an eye opener for you. Like, this has been an eye opener just doing some light measurements. It's kind of an aha, okay, this is why some of these things work and don't work. And like you said, I really have to get to know my own space and to not get frustrated and give up too quickly because there are these nuances that exist.
Yeah, that's the issue. I think that's the big hurdle for a lot of people is they kill a plant once because they didn't know, you know, these kind of things. And then they're like, oh, no, I'm a plant killer. I can't. I mean, that was me from the first five years as an adult in the city, because I just didn't understand. I didn't understand my surroundings and what was going on. And, you know, I look back on my first apartment where I was a plant killer, and I put succulents with no drainage 12 feet from the window. And then I had a Trascandentia, I hate the name wandering through. Tradescantia, in my like completely northern facing window. Like, of course it didn't. Of course it wasn't happy. Like, and it died. And also, I did, and I watered it with a spritzer. But that's another story. Yeah. But
that's one of my favorite things. You know, it's funny, and this could be like a whole nother episode. But it's so funny. As a professional in the industry, there are certain things that you see out there posted online in blog posts or ads or movies that just make you shake your fist. Yeah. You know, and there's all these pictures of people misting like orchids on the flower or misting plants, and you just go, ah, you know,
stop doing
that. You know, so unfortunately, there's a lot of misinformation out there that looks credible to new plants enthusiasts and pretty, and you think that's what you're supposed to do. And until you learn otherwise, until you kill a bunch of stuff, you got to earn that green thumb. No one's born with a green thumb.
Oh,
you
know, girl, you might be hustling for it. That's what
you've got to earn that green thumb. You know, you might be born with a propensity for something or a passion or an interest, but there is no getting around that learning curve that comes with experience and practice.
100%. Well, thank you so much for your time and your insight. Where can we find you and your book? I will link to the book Amazon link will be in the show notes, but where can we find you?
You can find me all sorts of places. My website is lesliehallick.com. You can spell that out, lesliehallick.com. And you can actually, if you want signed copies, personalized signed copies of my book, you can actually buy them directly from me off of lesliehallick.com. And then, of course, I'm very active on social media. So Instagram and Twitter at lesliehallick. You can find me on Facebook at Hallick Horticultural. That's my business name. And then I have a couple of Facebook groups, Gardening Under Lights and Plant Parenting, if you want a more kind of intimate chat format for that. And then, of course, like you said, you can find Gardening Under Lights on Amazon as well.
Oh, boy, plant friends. Did you enjoy that as much as I did? I can't tell you how helpful that exercise was. And I can't encourage you all more to go download the free download that Leslie and I have put together. You can go to bloomandgrowradio.com/resources. And it's right at the top of the page. You're going to get the instructions and the worksheet for the actual homework assignment Leslie gave me. I made it up all pretty for you. You're going to get an overview of everything we talked about in these two episodes. And then you're going to get that 6-page plant geek glossary from Leslie's book. It was actually created to be in Gardening Under Lights and then got taken out at the last minute. So Leslie is giving it to us for free to help us bloom and grow our knowledge. It is so generous. So once again, you can head to bloomandgrowradio.com/resources, and the sign up for that download is available to you. If you head over to the show notes, I also have a link to Leslie's book if you wanted to purchase it. It's so awesome, and all of the links to follow her on socials, and of course to follow me on Instagram at Bloom and Grow Radio. You can head over to the show notes at bloomandgrowradio.com/light2. All right, plant friends, this one I thought this was a really cool series. I hope it helped you. I hope as we go in the Northern Hemisphere, as we go into winter, that none of you guys suffer from too much loss of light or lower light. And most of all, I wish you all are having wonderfully planty holiday seasons filled with love and laughter and friendship and family and all that wonderful good stuff. Until next week, plant friends. Keep blooming and keep growing. Plant friends, thank you so much for tuning in today. If you like what you heard, make sure you are subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. And While you're making sure you're subscribed, why don't you head on over to the review section of whatever podcast player you're tuning into and leave us a review. I would greatly appreciate it. If you want to join the Bloom and Grow Garden Club, head over to bloomandgrowradio.com/garden-club to join the planty fun. When you join, you get a free download of the Keep Blooming print that Molly Mansfield made exclusively for us, and you will also get an email with the password to the private Facebook group, which is what I like to call the plantiest corner of the internet. It is pretty amazing. For behind-the-scenes scoop, plant tips I learn along the way, and sneak peeks of future episodes, follow me on Instagram at @bloomandgrowradio. And plant friends, I'm here for you, so drop me a line if you have an idea for an episode, live event, or maybe if you're a planty business looking to sponsor the show. I am always here to help you keep blooming and keep growing. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in. There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because Plant Friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible, so I made this cutie little Plant Parent Personality Quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.